We now go to the Windsor, Detroit area, where an alien craft has just landed.
I want you men to surround the craft. Chris, you stay with me.
What are we going to do, Jeff?
We're going in.
What? They're extraterrestrials.
What are you doing here? Why have you come here?
We have come here to listen to 99.1 FM CJAM.
99.1 FM CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
There's been a great deal of controversy over electric bikes, commonly known as e-bikes. They've been in the news in both good and bad light, and here to shed some undoubtedly good light on the subject is Toronto Electric Riders Association Treasurer Locke Hughes. So let's talk a little bit first about e-bikes in general. Are they very costly? What's the price range on them? And are they totally electric?
Hi, JD. The price range is, you could say, it's the same as what you'd pay for a car. What do you pay for a car? I mean, you can pick up a secondhand clunker, and you can buy yourself one of the top of the line Mercedes. And in electric bikes in Ontario, you see prices retail anywhere from under $1,000 to several thousand dollars. So there's a lot of range in prices depending on features and the size of the battery pack and so on.
And are they totally electric? Are there hybrids as well? Or
we haven't seen any hybrids. Even the law is a little gray on that subject as far as what exactly you use to recharge the pack. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the idea of charging an electric bike using a gas motor, I find a bit odd.
And what about like solar power or something like that?
Well, you could. Our solar technology is not really there yet. When you look at the size of a panel that you need to produce, say, 100 watts, you know, most bicycles going down the road at 20, 30 kilometers an hour, they're only burning 100 or 200 watts. But when you put that in the size of a solar panel today, you end up with a panel that's maybe 2 or 3 feet wide and 3 or 4 or 5 feet long. And so
you need
a fair-sized trailer if you're going to go that route.
Now, speaking of trailers, have you seen trailers for the e-bikes? I see people pulling them occasionally, but they seem usually to be homemade. I would imagine there must be trailers made for them.
Well, I mean, there's nothing in the law that says you can't put a trailer on an electric bicycle, just like with any bicycle, so sure.
Sure, they pull their kids around, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any community that has an active, bicycling component, they have all kinds of bikes with trailers and cargo bikes and so on, and it's the same way with electrics.
And what about charging? What's the length of time, I guess, to charge the bikes? I guess it might matter be dependent on what type or size of battery, I suppose, and then how long do they generally last, which I suppose is dependent again on the size.
Well, it generally takes me less than a minute to recharge. I plug in and then I go off and work and play. Well, I don't really sit there watching it charge, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Well, it's the size of the pack and the size of the charger. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, plugging into a regular outlet like any cordless appliance, you're limited to 120 volts and maybe 15 amps. Potentially you can draw quite a bit from a wall, but most chargers are anywhere from 2 to 5 amps, putting out 48 volts and so on. So it's rather like, using a 100-watt light bulb as far as the draw from the wall, and then you have to look at the size of the pack. And depending on the style of electric bike, the pack sizes can range anywhere from 300 or 400 watt-hour up to close to 1 kilowatt-hour. So if you've got a fast charger, a few amps, then you could recharge in a couple hours or maybe less, depending on the battery technology. And basically, you can charge it as quick as you want without damaging the chemistry. And there are different flavors of lithium batteries now, some of which accept fairly high charge rates. And of course, the automotive industry is desperate to have a fast charging car. So they've been spending a lot of money on battery chemistry development, and every year they get better and faster at charging and discharging and so on. So, again, there's a range of possibilities, but the quickest charge you can get is just to swap the pack.
Sure.
When you look at it in terms of, in a bike-sized vehicle, the packs are quite small and portable, and it's quite possible to swap the pack in less than a minute and get a full charge.
And the basic laws for riders and how they differ from a motored vehicle, and I mean insurance, licensing, and those types of things, helmets even, how do those things differ with an e-bike?
Well, the federal government, when they changed the law in 2001, they created a new category of motor vehicle, a power-assisted bicycle, and the only reason they did that was to exclude it from the federal motor vehicle regulations. To encourage its use and to get away from the idea of requiring licensing and insurance and all the other things that all the other motor vehicles require. And, of course, the idea is to encourage Canadians to use this technology. So the provinces, including Ontario, for example, modified the Highway Traffic Act, three-year pilot project 2006 to 2009, and then they formalized it. But basically, they define the power-assisted bicycle in the definition of bicycles. So for the Highway Traffic Act, they're regulated the same way that bicycles are regulated, without electric motors. And there's an additional regulation that adds some requirements. For example, anybody on a power-assisted bicycle needs to wear a helmet. It's not an option as it is for an adult on a pedal bike in Ontario.
Right.
People on electric bicycles have to be 16 years old. Riders and passengers, which is unfortunate because there's lots of young families out there with small children, and you see them on pedal bikes all the time, but they're not allowed to take anyone under 16 as a passenger on the power-assisted bicycle. The requirements are pretty simple for a power-assist in Ontario. The motors are maxed at 500 watts continuous, which is about two-thirds of one horsepower, which is quite a bit less powerful than most home hair dryers and so on. And they have to have pedals, and the motor's speeds are limited to 32 kilometers an hour, which is supposed to be equivalent to a cyclist in good condition. You know, it's not hard for anybody in spandex on a good quality road bike to pedal faster than 32 kilometers an hour. So that's about it for regulation in Ontario. They're regulated the same way as pedal bikes. Where it gets muddy is at the municipal level, because the Highway Traffic Act allows municipalities and, you know, across Ontario to create bylaws to regulate pedestrians and people in wheelchairs and cyclists on city roads. And so there are bylaws out there from the 20th century that restrict which are variously termed motorized recreational vehicles or motorized vehicles or, you know, so on. So there are still barriers to adopting this technology at a municipal level, and we hope that these barriers will fall and everyone will get in line with the provincial and federal initiative.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that as well. What got you interested in the electric bike and riding?
Well, electric boats.
Oh.
I was interested in battery electric boats for service on Toronto Harbour, which is one of Canada's most polluted harbours, and there are a lot of vessels that are in seasonal use. It's one nautical mile, no hills, six, 10 kilometer speed limit maximum, and it's a perfect application for battery electrics, but I've forgotten everything that I ever knew about electronics and electricity back in high school. So I went out and I bought myself a secondhand electric bike just as a rolling science experiment to, you know, educate myself about batteries and chargers and controllers and various and sundry. And the first week I had the bike here in Toronto, a police officer told me it wasn't legal. And I was curious about the fact that I was riding around in a commercially manufactured vehicle, manufactured in the millions every year, and why weren't they legal in Ontario? And that was about 12 years ago. So I've been following battery electric bicycles ever since, and I have two daughters that were born in Toronto as babies. Their doctor said they had lung problems because of urban air quality.
Sure.
And that's about the time that I parked my last car. I just couldn't bring myself to fire up that 350 V8 engine anymore, and had to change my life. And we're lucky in Toronto to have a very good transit system, and I, you know, moved downtown in the last few years, and I'm surrounded by electric streetcars and electric subways, and the electric bikes make all my transportation electric now.
What innovations might you like to see implemented with electric bikes?
Well, the technology's actually pretty mature. The first electric bike hit the streets in Paris, France in 1881. And what's changed in the last 10 or 20 years is that the rare earth permanent magnet motors have become very efficient, very small. And our battery chemistry, we've finally made the leap from lead acid batteries to lithium ion batteries. And it's made all the difference in the world to a little vehicle like a bicycle, because obviously they're, well, little. And a large, heavy lead-acid battery pack is very limiting. So the technology in its current form has just exploded. It's already reached the point where lots and lots of people see it as a viable alternative in transportation. The sales numbers in Europe are just huge. You know, they sold 300,000 last year in Germany, and the sales this year, it looks like they're going to hit 400,000.
Wow.
One in every five bicycles being sold now in the Netherlands is electric. Last word I heard from China, they got about 150 million electric bikes on the road there now. So the new battery technology is just transforming the possibilities, and there are some more sophisticated things you can do with battery electric bikes. Just the fact they have power on board means that you've got all kinds of options now with hooking them up to wireless devices, and you know, there's lots of models coming out now that connect with your smartphones and display all sorts of information, and it makes you have programmable bikes.
right, yeah. I see quite a few e-bikes around, obviously in the city here in Windsor, and also around campus, and you know, CJM is a community campus radio station. So for listeners who do ride e-bikes and take them to school and whatnot, might be interested in what you're riding. What type of e-bike or bikes do you have?
Well, I'm in between bikes at the moment.
Right, okay.
JD, I've ridden quite a few different ones. Some of the dealers in town are kind enough to loan me some of their bikes sometimes, and I show up at meetups that we have here in Toronto. And I actually went to a meetup in Hamilton last Sunday and went down there on an e-bike. And there's two kinds of styles of electric bike within the broad definition of the law, and some of them look like 20th century gas scooters, and the other ones look like pedal bikes. You don't even notice those ones, really. So there's other bikes around you don't see that are electric.
When we here in Windsor think of Toronto, you know, we think, you know, it's the big city and the roads are crazy and it's busy and it's, you know, more limiting maybe areas to ride and whatnot. But pre-show, you were telling me about something that you saw in the Globe and Mail. I guess you had had a conversation with somebody from there talking about areas in Toronto now where they have some kind of a little bit of a barrier between the
Toronto's had bike lanes starting way back. They originally had wooden boards as a bike lane on, I think, Spadina Avenue years ago, but they've come back in the last couple of decades. And Toronto's had great plans to expand its bicycle network, including bike lanes, although the plans haven't really come along as they were supposed to. But there are bike lanes, and we hope more every year. And the latest one on Sherbourne Street has a physical barrier, which it's not just a painted white line.
Right.
It's actually got a little bump on the road. And so there are mixed thoughts about that amongst cyclists and people that are riding power-assisted bicycles about the, you know, perhaps you're constrained into a bike lane and so on. You know, in Toronto, we've actually got an old bylaw that says that has a definition for a bicycle as solely human powered. So by law in Toronto, based on this old bylaw, people on power-assisted bicycles aren't even welcome in the bike lanes unless they don't use their motors.
Wow.
So there's an example of an old bylaw that just is out of step now with the provincial law and the federal initiative, and most of the plans that the city's had for the last 10 years about reducing car dependency and encouraging green, sustainable-type transportation and concerns about smog and so on. So there's still work to do as far as getting these laws in step with people's concerns about air quality and so on.
And I wonder just how much will get done from a smaller city, say, such as Windsor, or will the bigger changes be made in some of the larger cities and then kind of trickle down to some of the smaller cities? Like, I know in Toronto you're also gearing up for a couple of council committee meetings in October, I guess?
We believe, yeah, that's the plan. I mean, cities in Ontario have official plans. Windsor, Ontario has an official plan that, you know, they passed around 2005 or 2006, something like that. You've got an environmental master plan. You've got a cycling plan. And all of these things to talk about concerns about air quality and quality of life in the city and so on, whether it's Windsor or Toronto, they all have the same plans. But most of these plans involve spending lots of money on infrastructure to create safe routes for people on two wheels. Along comes the power-assisted bicycle, which is sort of falls outside of most of these older studies and plans and so on, but it actually is, it promotes the electric bike without requiring any more infrastructure than whatever you're doing for bicycles. So you look at a lot of electric bikes today, they come with things like alarm systems, and they don't even use the bicycle infrastructure for locking up bikes and so on, for mm-hmm. example. So it's like anything on two wheels. They don't require parking spaces and much, the electric bikes don't really require much infrastructure at all. Most of the people buying electric bikes are buying them for commuting.
Sure.
You know, maybe they're using them to get to friends and shopping and recreation, but a lot of them are buying them for commuting. And when you want to plug in at work, generally you can't plug in at a bike rack. So a lot of these e-bikes don't even use bike racks or that sort of thing. And they have their own kind of security systems rather than necessarily locking up to a bit of bike infrastructure. So in some ways, they don't require all the capital spending that most of these plans talk about to encourage cycling.
Locke, we're going to take a quick break. Locke Hughes, the treasurer of the Toronto Electric Riders Association, with us today on the show. And he'll be back with us for more e-bike talk after this. Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others. If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca. All right, we're back. Locke Hughes, treasurer of the Toronto Electric Riders Association, here on the show with us today. I want to ask you something about a blog post by Windsor City Councillor Alan Halberstadt, Ward 4 actually, posted on August 29th, says that he's ridden an e-bike and said it was fun, but some areas made it a little scary. And he says instead of all the enforcement and spending money on negatives, we should look at spending to widen roads to accommodate them. So there's somebody there that's at least saying, you know, stating like what I'm thinking, why fight it so bad when, you know, it's only a good thing. And if you need accommodations in place, you know, why not work towards a solution?
Well, God bless your city councilor. I think whatever he wrote there was written as a novice e-biker.
Sure.
Sounds like it might have been his first time on an electric bike, and I think with a bit more practice, he might feel a bit more comfortable about it. In fact, a lot of what you hear that's negative about electric bikes are written by people that have never actually ridden one. So I encourage people to get out and try one. Most of your local dealers probably will let you take one out for a spin after a brief orientation. They're not much different than riding a bicycle, although there's a lot of information out there that suggests they're actually safer than a bicycle. But no, go out and try one before you cast aspersions. Most of the electric bikes are running around consuming about 20 watt hours per kilometer, and most Canadians don't know what that means. But in food energy, it would be about 17 calories per kilometer. And so the full charge that I used to get to Hamilton on a bike, which only had a fairly small pack, was about 5 or 7 cents from Toronto Hydro, so to go 80 kilometers. So, and what was nice was in Hamilton, I had to plug the bike in to recharge for the trip home, but I plugged into a company called Bullfrog that sells a service where you can buy your electricity from Bullfrog for an extra 3 cents a kilowatt hour. And they feed the grid with wind and solar and renewables. So, you know, on the trip home, I was basically running on wind and solar power and hydro and so on, and not the nuclear gas coal mix that we have in so much of North America. So I felt kind of fun about that.
And I think it's kind of surprising what you you can fit on an e-bike. I know I play in a band, and my drummer rides an e-bike, and it's surprising what he can bring to a gig on his e-bike. He doesn't pull a trailer or anything with it, and mind you, he doesn't bring his full drum kit, but, you know, he's got bags, and he's got his mics, and he's got all this, you know, some stands and things, and it surprises me what he can get on there. So I think that's a good thing as well, to be able to, you know, cart some things around. If you had to get a small amount of groceries and things like that, I think that's great. And have these things caught on in the U.S.? Have they more so maybe than here, or are you familiar with that?
No, yes, and they haven't. And I mean, they're huge in continental Europe, and they're huge in China. In England, they haven't caught on as quickly, and in North America, definitely not. I mean, North Americans, we love our cars, and you know, our cities have been designed around the automobile for the last 50, 60 years or longer. And so, you know, the number one concern that people express about riding any kind of two wheels is safety. And it, you know, discourages a lot of people. They see it as dangerous, and the truth is it is. You know, half the cyclists in Europe are women, and in North America it's more like 10% because, you know, women are smarter than guys, and they know it's dangerous out there. So
that's a whole other show there. That's a whole other show.
Yeah, so, you know, safety holds back a lot of people. So, you know, this is the argument for safe cycling infrastructure. If people feel that getting up on two wheels is safer, then they'll do it. You know, you can do it for your health, for exercise, and you can do it for saving a lot of money. And whether you do it by pedaling or you do it with a power-assisted bicycle, you save a ton of money over the cost of the, you know, 21st century automobile. I mean, a lot of young people in North America are putting off getting their first car now. They won't even take a freebie from their parents because it's so expensive to operate now, you know. And there's a niche out there that e-bikes can fill for a lot of people. If you want to save money or get a little exercise, you know, with the bikes that, you know, look like pedal bikes and have a power assist, exercise is an option. It's built in.
Sure.
The last study I read about commuters in Toronto on pedal bikes said that half of them don't pedal when there's a smog alert. You know, so often the smog alerts are, I mean, ozone is almost a constant problem. I mean, in Windsor, Ontario, this is a major concern for people is air quality. And, I mean, so far in 2012, you've had 83 moderate or worse air quality days in Windsor. And the problem with being on a pedal bike is if you exert yourself and you raise your respiration rate, you're actually increasing your exposure to ground-level ozone and particulate matter from diesel and so on. So at least if you ride a bike that's got a power assist and you can pedal when you want, you can motor past the tailpipes and get your exercise out in the parks or somewhere that's comparatively safe.
And you're the treasurer of the Toronto Electric Riders Association. Tell us about the association, who started it, how long it's been around.
Yeah, it was started by a woman here in Toronto in 2009 as an online forum. And a little over a year ago, a group of us on the forum agreed that we should get our act together as an association and incorporate as a not-for-profit in Ontario and encourage, you know, help the push to get this technology approved and in common use and just encourage Ontario people to try it out. So our association is still small, but the online forum users are just going up. I mean, there's five times the interest there was 3 years ago. We've got you know, it took 100 people to get on the first year, and now we're signing up 100 in, you know, less than 10 weeks. So the interest is just exploding. And, I mean, in Ontario, we're just catching up to other parts of the world. So we've got 65 dealers now in the Greater Toronto Area of stores selling electric bicycles, and there's over 200 in across Ontario. I think there's maybe 3 in Windsor now. And the reports, you know, I heard a report from Kingston, Ontario, that one dealer, his sales had doubled every year in each of the last 3 years that he's been in business. One dealer in downtown Toronto reports that 70% of their customers are car owners. And they're moving downtown and parking the car, and they buy one of these bikes, and they report a few weeks later that they haven't had the car on the road for 2 or 3 weeks. So there's all kinds of people that are taking to two wheels that wouldn't maybe get on a pedal bike. Get a lot of older people that maybe have mobility issues. A lot of them have biked all their lives, and they want to keep on biking. A lot of the plans are predicated on the distance that they think people want to bicycle comfortably to get to public transit or to get to parks or things like sure. that. The big thing about the power assist is it makes the bicycle practical for longer distances. So, you know, in that respect, it can sort of upend urban planning in the way that it makes the bicycle easier for more people to cover longer distances. So it makes sure. the pedal bike more practical.
Do you guys hold events as well?
We do. We have meetups, and you know, it's obviously we meet in online, but I mean, it's just like any group of people. It's always more fun when we get together in meet space, and you know, dinner and drinks are show up and show and shine, and everybody can see everybody's bikes and talk about what they're up to, because people modify them. They put on extra lights or sound systems or you know, that kind of thing, like any vehicle.
Sure. Why show them off a little, too? And
Sure.
Where can listeners find out more about the Toronto Electric Riders Association online? Is there a specific website address to get there? Or?
Well, we're ebikeriders.com, but if you type in e-bike Toronto or e-bike Ontario, we're top of the list in Google CA. I'm sure there are companies out there spending money on search engine optimization, but the Toronto Electric Riders, if you're searching for an e-bike in Ontario and Google, we're top of the list.
All right, there you go, ebikeriders.com. And what should local communities do to be involved with any decision-making that happens with e-bikes in their own communities?
Well, I would encourage them to actually speak to people that are riding electric bikes already if they haven't done so themselves, because I don't think that I hope that if they actually have a chance to consider the situation, that I think a lot of the concerns are a bit naive, and I think if people were better informed, they would understand electric bikes in a better light. The city of Windsor just passed, I believe, a bylaw that basically they thought they would restrict electric bikes to 10 kilometers an hour on your bike paths. And I don't think they know really what 10 kilometers an hour looks like. I mean, on a pedal bike, you're almost falling over. It's very difficult for anybody to maintain something like 10 kilometers an hour on a bicycle because of the physics of riding a bicycle, and the, you know, the micro wobbles that we need to stay upright become more pronounced at slower speeds. So, you know, it's really low speeds. You're actually less maneuverable on two wheels than you are at faster speeds, you know, below a certain point. So yeah, there's a lot of education that needs to go on, and most of the concerns that I hear about electric bicycles come from people that have never tried one and haven't actually had a chance to speak to people that are already riding them. So,
all right. Well, really appreciate you being on the show, Locke. It was great to have you on. I want to give a quick shout out to David Dodson as well, because he's the one that initially hooked us up. You were on the morning show, Big JD and Lippo in the Morning, not too long ago, and it was great to have you back on for a full show here on You Talking to Me.
Wonderful, JD. Nice talking to you, too. Onwards and upwards. Let's do something about the environment and save some money and have some fun at the same time.
Great. Thanks, Locke.
Cheers.
Well, you might not have an e-bike or even have any interest in them, but one thing's for sure, they definitely bring a positive change with regards to environmental friendliness. I don't ride one, To me, it couldn't take the place of my 04 Harley-Davidson Police Special, but I think the pros outweigh the cons, and I think we should embrace this and other technologies that bring about positive environmental change. Sure, we may need to make further accommodations, but in the end, it's probably worth it. This is You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.